good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening. Folks, thank you very, very much for listening. The date today is the 11th of March, year of our Lord, 2021. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III. Welcome to yet another episode of the Bun and Cardigan Show. James, All-Star break is officially, as of this recording, come to an end.
Yes.
Games are being played tonight. Pistons will be playing tomorrow, i.e. the day that this actually releases. So, hasn't really been any Pistons news to talk about until you gave us a bunch of nuggets, and it was definitely you alone. You were the only beat writer in the room covering
this. Of course.
Troy Weaver. Now, let me ask you something about Troy Weaver. He gave you guys, you guys had a presser with him. He gave you guys a bunch of great quotes that we're about to dive into. But I kind of want to ask you, I don't know that Ed Stefanski wasn't necessarily in the shadows, but he was as close to the term as you can be, because I feel like we weren't getting as many quotes from him as we already have from Troy in the, like, 8 months that he's been. How long has the season been happening? Well, he's been here since, what, like, June? So since June, like, we get a lot from him.
Yeah, I think we've had, when he was hired in June, or might have been an August one, I'd say we have three or four. Ed did about three during that 2019-20 season. I think the thing with Troy is when Ed was here, not many people didn't really know like how long he'd be around, what was going on, senior advisor, that role.
He was never officially the GM,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, technically. Like, I guess if you're going by title, yes. But by job description and what he was doing, he was. But I also just think Troy's quotes just hit hard. Like, it's right. He knows who he's talking to, he knows where he works, he knows the fan base he's catering to, and everything he said has been has gotten a rousing applause from the Pistons faithful, young and old.
Yeah, I mean, I even texted you about the ultimate quote, the Minnesota Timberwolves can't restore, the Atlanta Hawks can't restore, the Detroit Pistons can't restore. I just imagine, what if his dad didn't restore classic cars and there were that 66 Monte Carlo didn't happen? Would we have had the butterfly effect of that?
Well, the funny thing is, the takeaway, aside from Pistons fans loving that quote, the takeaway from that quote was apparently Monte Carlos didn't go into production until 70. So that, I got a lot of those. He's like, oh, this would be cool if the car was around in 66 or 67.
Car Twitter came after you. Automobile Twitter.
Yeah, they really did. And I'm like, well, he might have just misspoke. And yeah, if he lied to just get that line off, more power to
still
him.
Still a bar.
Still a bar.
Yeah.
And it was a great quote. One of the best GM quotes. I should preface it. He said no slight before he said that. Yeah. But, I mean, people are sensitive. And it's a true thing. What if the Timberwolves haven't won anything? Atlanta, he could have also said OKC. He could have said a lot of teams, but he said those two teams. I don't think I don't think there's bad blood or anything. I think those are just the teams that came to mind, and it was a great quote. I mean, you don't hear GMs that candid.
Yeah, it was really nice. And just speaking a little bit more towards the candidness alone, it's interesting because I kind of got myself thinking. I don't remember what the quote was about Dennis Smith Jr., but it was something to the effect of, we're really interested in him, and we're going to – or no, it was, we're going to take a long, long look at Dennis Smith Jr. We like what we see so far.
Yep.
Now, to me, that sounds like GM speak, and there's not much to read into there. So it's interesting that I felt the way that I did about what Dwayne said, because it was more or less the same thing, and it kind of made me think maybe James was right, right? I was also very encouraged.
I also could be wrong. I just still think.
Sure.
I think if you ask them any player on the roster, they're going to say that. That's just me, though.
Yeah. The difference, like I said, but I said this whenever we brought up the whole Dennis Smith Jr. thing. The thing there was that I didn't know the context to what was said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still don't know what the question was. So it just, for some reason, was different in my brain. But it was also really nice to see Troy be like, hey, Dwayne's our guy. I can't imagine a guy who's better to navigate this situation. Then he said, you know, you often want your coaches in these situations, I'm sorry, your players to embody the mindset and the personality, the tone of the coach. And he thinks that they've done that in Detroit. And Dwayne is the person that you, of course, would want them to try to embody. So that was really encouraging for someone like me, who's a Dwayne Casey truther. I think most people, we've said it a bunch on this show, but most people are sort of like, yeah, he's going to stick around. There is that small contingency of people, well, Dwayne Casey needs to go. I would encourage you to watch a game or two, just sort of, you know,
and Dwayne responded to that today. Somebody asked him about it. We talked to, they practiced in Charlotte, I believe, based on the background of the Zoom. You can tell when it's in Detroit and when it's on the road. And he said, no, he was glad that he's happy that Troy said that, and that's the sign of a leader, but he doesn't need that to feel secure about his job, that he gets up every day. If he felt like his job was on the line, he'd coach the same way. He said he's been doing this for a long time, and he's gonna continue just to coach this team the way, whether he's on the hot seat, not on the hot seat, which he's not, by the way, as Troy said, and I've been saying for a long time, just look at the rosters Dwayne has had since he's been here. This team, I mean, guys have developed under him. I mean, you look at Bruce Brown. You look at Luke Kennard's best season came under Dwayne. You look at Sfi became a rotation guy under Dwayne. Sadiq's been good. Isaiah's been good. Saben Lee's been good. Blake Griffin's arguably best year was under Dwayne Casey. So, I mean, Dwayne gets the best out of guys. And at this team in particular, from everything I've heard, they really do like him. And you can tell, just if you know Dwayne, this team does embody his spirit. He coaches as if he's trying to win, but he understands the circumstances, of course.
Sure. And then, obviously, the thing that got everybody's ears perked up a little bit, got a little Killian nugget in there. And we are officially, as of this recording, a week away from the update.
Yes.
It's right around the corner.
And he did light practice today. Light running on the side and light work, I believe.
It has been 7 weeks since the Killian injury. Now, here's what is encouraging to me. It's not that you've reported, well, I should do this in order. It's not that Troy said, it's going well. It's not that you reported, yeah, Troy said it's going well, or that he practiced today. It's that the Pistons posted his outfit getting on the plane.
Yeah,
he's making the road trip, and I think
he was I think he was in Orlando too, but he's from there, so I don't know if that was part of the reason.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that's actually a good point.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, okay, well, if the social team is starting to post him again, that means that okay, maybe my tinfoil hat. Maybe he really is kind of starting to work his way back into this lineup. So that's going to be really fun.
I do think he plays this year. There was a time a few weeks ago where I wasn't sure if he'd play again this year. I would bet money on Killian playing this year, and I think he'll get a month of basketball in at the minimum.
Also an encouraging sign for the people who disparage our medical staff.
That whole thing is still nutty to me.
No, I know it is. You've been on record a lot of times saying how wild it is, but I'm just saying, well, he had this injury, which through no fault of the medical staff, it happens, and wow, he actually recovered on the timeline that was anticipated. Wouldn't you know it? Now, of course, any slight, you know, twitch that he has or any slight limp or if his movement looks weird, people are going to be like, it's that cursed medical staff. You know what I mean? But
and DeLon is on pace. I think he's questionable for tomorrow, but I'd imagine DeLon is back sometime this weekend at the latest.
Yeah, and Jeremy was, I think, questionable too. I don't remember
He wasn't on the report. Jeremy's going to play tomorrow.
Okay,
cool. It seems like, as of now, it looks like he'll play tomorrow.
Gotcha. The most interesting thing, obviously, is that the trade deadline is, as of this recording, about 2 weeks away.
Trade season.
Yeah, it's actually 2 weeks from the day that this releases. So here's the problem. You look at this Pistons roster, we know who could get traded, and we don't, which is something – I'm sorry, and we know who won't. Well, you'd like to think that.
Yeah.
And then Troy's like, but if somebody offers me four
first
round picks,
the honesty right there. Yeah, like it's just like it's not your typical management speak. Like he said,
yeah,
I'm not going to come out here and say anybody's untouchable. There's guys that I think will be here for a long time, but if somebody gives me an offer I can't refuse, I'm going to do it. And you don't hear that honesty every day. You really don't. And it's refreshing. It makes to know the people you don't work with these guys, but you work. There's give and take for me to do my job, for him to do his job, and the other beat writers. Like it's just refreshing to have honesty on the record, because you don't always, a lot of the stuff that you get that's honest is you have to do digging and off the record stuff, but to get stuff like that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It's just great. Yeah.
Broad daylight. Yeah. I mean, you'll hear some like Daryl Morey with Ben Simmons is untouchable. We're not moving him for Harden. Like you'll hear things like that. But then the Clippers move Blake Griffin to Detroit.
Exactly.
So, right. So that's one thing. But to be like, hey, man, I'd love if Killian was on this team for the next 12 years. But if someone calls, yeah. Right? Like I. So, no, I'm 100%. But just going back to the whole, we kind of know who's going to get traded and we know who's not going to get traded. It's like DeLon. Well, yeah, he could go somewhere. Wayne's almost undoubtedly going somewhere. Plumlee, well, you know, if something's there, but I don't know that anything will be this year. So the problem with it is, who's the, I'm totally blanking, the guy who covers the Bucks for you guys, Eric?
Eric Nem, the homie. Nem, we actually right. texted today. He wants Wayne in Milwaukee.
Yes, his trade was DJ Wilson and a second.
Yeah, he texted me about it today.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the, I read it, what, I can't think it came out 2 days ago. I read that the day it came out, and I had to add the Bucks to my little profile
Eric,
on The Athletic.
Eric, I doubt Eric listens to this, but if you do, Eric, I mean, you don't even say it on this, I'll tell you to you, but he does a great job covering the Bucks. To guy I've got to see a lot over the last 4 years. Well, mm-hmm. He's new. Last 2 years, because playoff series and I mean, the Pistons and Bucks are in the same division. Eric is a great guy, good ball player. Don't let him fool you. Don't let the avatar fool you. Eric can ball. We've played ball in Milwaukee together. He can play.
We'll have to get him on the show. That'll be fun for both of us. Yeah. Cause then I can just ask a bunch of Bucks questions. Anyways,
we'll do that.
So, just to the trade. So it's Wayne Ellington for DJ Wilson and a second. This has been thrown around a few times. Now, what's funny is I'm pretty sure I actually proposed this very thing. At the beginning of the season, substitute Wayne for Svi, because I don't think when I proposed it that Svi was actually on the roster. I'm sorry, that Wayne was on the roster yet. I got buried for it.
Well, that's because how dare you trade Svi? He's
so dumb. Anyways, this is the problem. Is it's like, ugh, DJ Wilson in a second. I don't want DJ Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not a DJ Wilson.
You don't want
DJ
Wilson.
That's not my Michigan State bias.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna throw that in there too. And that's the same thing with DeLon. Like maybe that'll get you something more fun. But it's just like, what do we have to look forward to? We're not gonna get any shiny new toys.
I mean, me and John Hollinger did a piece on Monday where we canvassed the league and looked at potential deals, and I pitched one. The idea of the story was I pitch a trade to the GM. People know John Hollinger was formerly with the Memphis Grizzlies in their front office. So I pitched to him, and he changed it a little bit. But I pitched, I think, Wayne and Mason Plumlee to Boston for Tristan Thompson, Javonte Green, and a first. I think there's a package in there, depending on if you can find the right team, where it's Mason and DeLon or Mason and Wayne.
Right.
For a first. I wouldn't put a first off the table if you're Detroit at this deadline. I think it could happen.
I think it's really, so when I say we're not going to get a shiny new toy, you just kind of mentioned it there. Of course we could get one in terms of like draft capital, one that turns into something, right? But I just mean day one, we're not going to be like, when is this guy going to be active? Is he active?
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, we made the trade 20 minutes ago. And they're like,
is he going to be able to play tomorrow?
Right, exactly. Where's DSJ? It's a good point, because I was going to mention, if we move Plumlee, and it was actually going to be kind of phrased as a question, do you think the only way that he gets dealt is in some sort of a package the way that you just laid out?
I don't think that's the only way, but I think that's probably, depending on if Detroit wants another first, I think packaging him in either DeLon or Wayne is the best way to do that.
And you, obviously, because you proposed the trade, you would, of course, do that.
Yeah, because you look at Mason or Tristan Thompson has 1 year less on his deal than Mason Plumlee, but he makes more money, and he's just been worse. Like Mason Plumlee right now is a better basketball player on both ends of the floor, believe it or not. Even defensively, he is better than Tristan Thompson.
Sure.
And it's a cheap option for Boston. They'll save money. They'll take on an extra year, but they'll save money in the next 2 years, and they can add shooting or more guard depth. I think a move like that for Boston would be smooth if they can't do anything massive in the next 2 weeks.
You like Harrison Barnes in Boston? You like that?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it, no. I don't know. I don't think Boston can get there, though, with that money.
They have the trade exception.
Isn't it? But it's not. Isn't it? How much is it for?
Isn't it worth like 24? I think.
Is it that big?
I believe. I thought it's
it was like 17.
I'm pretty sure it's bigger than that.
If well, it is, maybe.
You see, once when you question something, then I begin to question it.
Yeah.
So I did ask our Twitter followers to throw us some fake trades. The problem was I added that it was not for the podcast. It actually was. I probably shouldn't have added that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was so confused when I woke up and I saw like people favoriting that. I saw like I had the notification on my phone, and everyone was liking, I need trade things, not for the. I'm like, what in the hell did he do? And then I saw what you did.
I don't know why. I can explain why I did.
So did we not get very many because of that?
We didn't get a lot. Yeah, I shouldn't have added that at the end. Here's one though. For Mark Schindler.
Shout out to
Mark.
I'm
going to be honest. It's too much, but I'm still going to read it, and we can adjust it accordingly.
Okay.
DeLon Wright gets sent to Philadelphia. It would break my heart if DeLon Wright, oh, my God, I finally got to Detroit. Bye. Finally get to play for Dwayne Casey. Nope. Never mind. Next.
Yeah.
I feel really bad if that happened. DeLon Wright goes to Philly for Mike Scott, Terrence Ferguson, and two second-round picks. One of them is actually the New York pick this year.
That's actually, like, eerily similar to the deal I pitched to Hollinger. Hold on, let me – I think I pitched him that exact – it might have just been 1 second, but it was – Hollinger didn't – he didn't think DeLon would fit well in Philly. Here is the trade that I proposed to the great John Hollinger to Philly. Mark was very close to what I said, and I said DeLon for Mike, Terrence, and 1 second round pick.
Yes. That's the thing. I think you just knock off 1 second round pick. So when I say it's too much and they're like, whoa, pump the brakes, it's easily amendable, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be completely shocked if you could get two, especially from Philly, who's, I mean, they're in win now mode, so it wouldn't surprise me, but.
Is this the bit where you had mentioned, I don't remember if it was you or John, but I think you had rationalized your logic in one of the trades as, because DeLon has an additional year, you might be able to squeeze out an additional second rounder from these teams.
That was...
You definitely did say that. I don't.
There was one for Wayne where I pitched your favorite player to Dallas. So it was Wes Iwundu, who has another year after this on his deal, and 2 seconds for Wayne. I said 2 seconds, even though Wes doesn't make much. It is an extra year and it's guaranteed. So maybe Detroit can squeeze another second out of the expiring of Wayne, which might be a little too much, but maybe Dallas gets desperate and there's familiarity there. I mean, Wayne's played for almost every single team, but he had some good years in Dallas, or a good year,
sure.
I think, in Dallas.
I think the DeLon Wright thing for Philly is we didn't get Kyle Lowry. We need to do something else.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of if Detroit does trades, I think you're going to see it like right at the deadline. Like, I think teams are going to have Detroit's going to let them know what they would do. And these teams are going to be like, all right, if we can't get this done, call Detroit. And that will be like the plan B, C, D for some of these playoff / title contending teams.
Sure.
Because DeLon, Wayne, and Mason are all good players and they've been good this year, but they're not like needle movers.
A lot of fail safes on this team is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
For in Detroit. What an interesting – I don't want to call it a problem, but I was going to say – because I was going to say what an interesting problem to have. What an interesting situation to find yourself in, that we have a lot of guys that a lot of teams want, but not first, second, or maybe even third.
And I think that's all three guys are new, technically. I mean, Wayne been here before, but he left and came back, and that's a good sign to the front office. Three guys that they brought in this year have interest around the league.
Yeah, and one of them has two triple-doubles.
And one of them, and one of them is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
For some reason, I forgot that we were talking about Wayne.
I could tell you were trying to figure out who it was. Yeah,
the wheel started to spin. So Kyle Metz sent us two. One of them's too long, so if I read it all to you, it'll just get jumbled up. So this one's a little bit shorter. Read this one. Lakers get Wayne. I think they like that. All they do is send Sacramento Jared Dudley and a second. Okay, while we send Rodney Magruder and a second to Sacramento, we get Bagley. And let me tell you something. I don't think
that's not enough for Bagley.
I don't think that Monty McNair would be able to coach to run that team for another second.
No, a guy that's been in the league for 2 years, all you have to do is a second and a vet.
And Rodney Magruder, you turn Bagley, a guy who was drafted before Luka, who I do have invested stock in. You get Dudley, Magruder in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Send that team to Seattle at that point because it's never going to happen.
There's a chance that if Sacramento did that deal, all four of the moving parts are not on the team in 3 years.
Yeah, no, for sure. And even
definitely
like,
Magruder and Dudley. And then unless they get lucky with the second round picks, you can't anticipate them being on the team.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and like it could age terribly or it could age like the fine wine that James is drinking right now. I don't want Bagley. And
you
I don't
want Bagley.
No, I don't. I don't want Bagley, and I don't want John Collins. And the John Collins one feels blasphemous to say, and as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't agree with that because of the reasoning, the rationale that I'm about to have. I really want to see Isaiah Stewart and Evan Mobley on this team.
Yeah, and you're a big Mobley guy. I am too,
Pac-12 Freshman of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes, he did.
Officially.
He balled out against Hawaii.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Jalen Suggs in the championship. Oof.
That's another guy. Keep an eye on, Pistons fans.
But, like, every time I watch Mobley, I'm like, I think he might be better than Cade. And then I watch Cade. I'm like, okay, Mobley's
Cade's
good.
Different.
But he's not,
yeah, Cade's
he's
different.
Not better than Cade.
Cade's different.
I'm a real victim of the moment guy, and Mobley gets me. He puts me in prison every single time. Anyways.
I think no matter what, Nick will be happy. If the Pistons get a top – as long as they get a top five pick, Nick will be happy.
I do have one player I don't want. I'm not going to say it on here, though, because I need to – no, I do like him. I don't want to say it yet because I just haven't totally fleshed out my opinion on them yet, so I can't tell you exactly why I don't. It's more of a feel thing right now, so I need to – I don't want to say it yet and put it out
there,
whatever.
Green, is it? You were just on here loving Green.
No. Jalen Green's in my top three hierarchy for Detroit. He's number three.
But we just said the top five. Who am I missing?
Yeah. Maybe I'm lying. Okay. So let me just go back to – it's the same reason I don't want Harry on this team anymore. And to put Harry and Bagley and Collins in the same paradigm is ridiculous. But I just mean in principle, and it feels really dumb to sit here and look you in the eyes and tell you that I don't want John Collins or Bagley because Isaiah Stewart is on this team. But I just mean the principle of like – it even feels silly to explain it, but just – put your stock into these guys and don't give anything up to potentially impede Isaiah's ability or Evan
you
Mobley's
like
ability.
Isaiah, you like what he stands for. You like what you've seen, and you want to see more.
And I just want to roll it with that. So it's let me just it's not that I don't want Bagley and I don't want Collins, but it's like I don't want to give up the Kings' ransom to play what if.
Yeah.
That's where it is. So – this final one that I'm going to read to you is from Hal. You might have seen it.
Shout out to
Hal. Swap me and James for co-host of the Cardigan or the Cardi B show, as he calls it, which I'm kind of mad that I always forget that that's what it's called. So every time he says that,
it's a great play on words.
James can do all the film breakdowns and cursing at the officials, and I'll make fun of how white Nick is. And story time with Hal will be about the one time that Bruce Brown said hello to me at a drive game. And that's the whole story, he says. So do you accept the trade? Are you going to switch places with Hal?
I don't think, out of respect for Hal and what he does, I don't think I can do what he does as good as he does. So I think he can do what I do better than me, but I don't think I can do what he does, and I don't want to do his platform injustice.
You don't think you could call the X's and O's the way that he does, is what you're saying.
I don't think I can curse out the refs the way he does.
Gotcha.
It's an art. It's an absolute art. His knowledge of the officiating of the rules, the book. He's done his due diligence. I don't agree with everything Hal says on in terms of officials. Most of it I do, but he I respect Hal's commitment, man. He's a must follow. Hal Bridius on Twitter, right? HalBridius. I hope I spelled that right. People should follow him.
Yeah, it's in the replies of the Bun and Cardigan Twitter. So I came up with one. Some news came out. Okay?
Yeah.
You got your GM hat?
I do.
Nah, your hair looks good. Don't mess it up.
Nah,
don't put it on.
Oh, fake. put whenever.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, James just put on his GM hat. Okay. LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs are parting ways.
Yeah, did I miss something with that? Like, was there like a beef leading up to this that I just missed?
It's not good anymore.
I mean, yeah, I get that. Maybe they just talked over the break. All right, I thought I like missed something.
I just look at it because when I see part ways, I assume it's like a Blake situation. They're just like, we're going to buy you out. I assume he'll be a buyout market guy. But I'm just going to caution the Spurs. Just wait a little bit. Listen to this show. And let me just, okay. I see the news. Can I guess your trade? Think, yes. Did you see my tweet about it?
Because I
sent out a little. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
My guess is Portland.
You think I want him to ride off into the sunset with the Trailblazers?
Yeah, did I get that part right or no?
Keep going.
For Harry Giles. Maybe.
Okay.
And a second-round pick.
LaMarcus Aldridge makes $24 million.
Oh.
So he can't fit. Yeah, he can't quite fit into the
If you were
Harry
wondering,
Giles
I finished the line. So that's why. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. No, it's not Portland. People do like that, though. I saw some people say Boston. I saw Nets fans be like, get him in the buyout market. I'm like, all right, all right, all right. The name recognition on that roster, just for the meme, sure. Why not? At this point, whatever.
That'd be great.
So, Kobe Altman kind of put himself in
a... Oh, man.
Kobe Altman really found himself in a pickle with the whole Kevin Love thing. You sign Kevin Love to an extension to sort of keep the one of the core pieces of the championship team around for the young guys, right? Kevin Love is like, that's a lot of money. So he stays. And then it kind of boils over and Kevin Love is trying to fight everyone and he hates it there and it's like this whole thing. And you can't trade him because let's use Portland as the example because that was a really popular thing. Kevin Love going to the Blazers. I still want that to happen, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not going to anymore.
From Oregon? Or his family's from Oregon. I think he's from California. Or maybe he's from Oregon. I can't remember. But go ahead.
Cleveland views Kevin Love as an asset that they should be compensated for accordingly because he's a great player. And they're just giving him away. Portland views Kevin Love, or any of the 28 other teams in the league, views Kevin Love as like a, you need to give us something for this contract.
Yeah.
You need to give us a first to get off this money.
And Kevin hasn't played all season, right?
I don't think he has.
He's played.
I think he's
played
played a few games. Yeah. That's where the dichotomy is Kobe Altman viewing Kevin Love in a certain way and other teams viewing him in the opposite way. Okay. So I look at this LaMarcus Aldridge thing and I think, okay, Drummond's money matches. And I think, that doesn't help anyone. They're going to just buy him out. But then I think you still got, 2.5 years of Kevin Love. He's not bad anymore. It's just he's just not somebody that you think about.
Yeah.
Because you just don't see him play.
I don't know if I would.
He doesn't.
I don't know. How many more years does Love have left?
He's got, as of today, is 3 years.
Yeah, I'm staying away from that.
Well, hold on. I think it was when Shams came out with the sort of deadline primer maybe a week and a half ago or so,
mm-hmm.
right? He mentioned a little nugget in there was that Jetty Osman was on the block. And I was like, oh. So this trade, I think, benefits both sides of the how you view Kevin Love as an asset.
I think I know what you're about to say.
Go ahead.
Jetty Osman is not enough to make you take Kevin Love, says
so
James,
the
well-known Chetty Osman hater.
Right. That's why I don't really trust your opinion on this. So I think you could throw in maybe an additional second. Cavs get LaMarcus, Rudy Gay, and 2 seconds. Okay? Spurs get Kevin Love and Jetty. I think maybe if you're the Spurs, you get another pick back or something. But I think if you're the Cavs, like, you're getting off of Kevin Love's money for two expirings. Which is, here's the thing.
And then if you're San Antonio, you're just getting Chetty Osman in the shell of Kevin Love.
I genuinely think that you are undervaluing where Kevin Love is at. And the guy can still play. Imagine
he
him
hasn't
with DeMar
played.
Rosen. No, he doesn't play a lot of games. He gets hurt, and he's there's like a weird like some like he will literally just get mad at people and then not play or something, which is weird. And it makes me really sad. But when the guy plays, he's not the 30-30 guy. He's not the 30-30 Kevin
healthy,
Love anymore.
He's not trash. I'm not saying that. I just
you give
I
it
don't,
25-12.
I don't think the risk is worth the reward. I don't hate what you're saying. I think there needs to be some things flushed out. Like San Antonio definitely needs to get more than just Chetty Osmond in the deal.
And that's the one thing that I had when I was right before we got on and I texted you that I had a trade for you. I was like, there needs to be something else to this. I do agree with you that the Spurs are going to need more than just Jetty. Yeah. Yes.
Like the rights to LeBron.
A time machine so they can get like Tony Parker mm-hmm. and the big fundamental and get the band back together. Mm-hmm. I just think if you're trading Kevin Love right now, if you're the Cavs, you're getting expirings back, period. That's it. It's all teams are going to give you.
I agree.
The 2 seconds are for Jetty. Now, the thing with the Spurs is they're not really in the business of trading picks.
No.
That's never really been their MO. So it's really funny if you look at the picks that they have stashed. They have all of them. And I don't mean all of them in the Sam Presti all of them way. I mean like
all of theirs.
All of theirs. Yeah. All of them. And it's really funny. So,
yeah.
This
is a deal I would do. I would do Aldridge for Love, Jetty, a second, and San Antonio throws in a second.
The reason that Rudy Gay's in there is because Kevin Love makes $8 million more and salaries have to match.
Okay, yeah. Whatever has to match, sure. Throw that in there.
Right.
San Antonio's playing well, and I think Love helps. I think him and DeMar are close, or cool at least. They both have been out there with the mental health stuff, so I'd imagine they've bonded over that at some point. Team USA.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
I think
that's
they played together. Is DeRozan made Team USA? Yeah, he has. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was on the 2016 team. Yeah.
I don't hate.
Well, he wasn't. I want to say I don't think it was. I don't know. I don't remember if that was the World Cup or if it was the Olympics.
Right. I think they played together on the U.S. team before.
Well, if it was 2016, then it was the Olympics. Yes. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. I think there could be a deal there. I don't know about that one. I'm trying to think what else would be a good landing spot for Aldridge. I mean, Portland makes sense. People want to see him right off in the sunset.
What do you want him to play, though?
Seventh man, come off the bench.
Seventh, eighth man is what I was going to say, yeah.
Have him and Melo run the second unit. Where else would I like? I wouldn't mind. I don't know. Aldridge has been bad.
Do you wonder if there's going to be some sort of a, from what it seems like might happen, I'm not saying it's sealed and signed, she's not my level like Billie Jean, but the kid is mine. James' birthday is coming up in a few days. I'm not saying it's going to be like a one-to-one or that this is even going to happen with Blake, but it feels like Blake is more healthy than what we were led to believe that he is. Do you think there's some sort of a physical renaissance that we have with LaMarcus Aldridge the way that it feels like we might with Blake?
No.
Because if that's – you don't think so?
I don't think it should feel like Blake is going to have one. If you're referring to that video where he's playing against – 5'10" guys with sticks. For the record, people, when that saw that video, people, Rod tweeted, "Excuse me," like he was shocked that Blake could dunk. Blake can still dunk. He's 6'10". It's a little bit different dunking in an NBA game. I wish Blake the best. I hope it works out for him. I've been on the front line of me saying Blake is a Hall of Famer with a ring, without one. I think he deserves an opportunity to go get a ring. I don't think Blake was playing possum.
I texted you, and people know me, and they know how much I love Blake Griffin, so this isn't in a way to slight him. I'm not playing him over Jeff Green, and I'm probably not playing him over Nicholas Claxton. I'm definitely not playing him over Jeff Green right now.
I'm not mad at what you're saying. I'm not. I need to. Maybe he was playing. I don't see it. All parties knew in Detroit that if he played well, he could get traded. I think he would try his best for that to happen. I'm sure his pride is he is not a guy that wants to get bought out multiple years and do his deal. Like if he could get traded for something, I'm sure he would rather prefer that.
I'm very interested. I will be watching that first Nets game that Blake is a part of to see what that looks like.
Well, it might be against Detroit because he's not playing against Boston tomorrow.
When is the Detroit game Saturday?
It's on Saturday.
In Brooklyn. Yeah, they don't play here until Monday. That's right, the day after my birthday. I don't have to go to a game until Monday.
I'm just going to – I need to dead this thing real quick. LaMarcus can't go to Portland. You going to trade Nurk? No. You going to trade Covington?
No.
You just gave up a first for him. You going to trade Rodney Hood?
Not for
not for LaMarcus Aldridge.
No.
You going to trade Derek Jones Jr. for $9.2 million? Probably not.
Nope.
Next is Zach Collin for $5.5 million.
I mean, that was like buyout. Yeah, if he gets bought out, I would like that to happen.
You want to hear a fun fact I learned? I almost texted you about it, and I was like, he doesn't care. I learned about an interesting player that has the same birthday as me on the Portland Trailblazers.
Who?
CJ Ellaby, of all players.
Does he really?
Yeah, so it was funny that you were talking about Wes in your story earlier.
Yeah.
Now CJ Ellaby, who does he play for, Legends?
That's hilarious.
Is there a world where you think, I don't want to talk about Kyle Lowry right now, so I won't ask that. The question being thrown around right now, just since we're on the Brooklyn thing, and I don't want to talk about Blake in the sense of the whole Detroit thing. People are like, does Blake Griffin, does this solidify Brooklyn as the prohibitive favorites in the Eastern Conference?
Stop.
No, because they already were. And even if they weren't, then no. And this is coming from a guy like, dude, the Bucks and the Celtics blew their windows. They blew it last year. I would say it was the Celtics arguably to lose.
I think the Celtics are in more trouble than the Bucks.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying all Milwaukee had to do was beat Miami. We knew all year that was going to happen, and then they blew it.
Yeah.
Once that happened, all Boston has to do is beat Miami, and I think that they might win the finals.
That was their best. That appears to be their best chance.
And now it's like, because we knew it's this weird year. Like in a year, you're gonna have Kevin Durant, and he's gonna be back, and they're gonna get whoever else. Bruce Brown is gonna be. They're gonna be throwing a parade for Bruce Brown every single night. Man, it's if they get Drummond, I'm gonna be kind of mad.
It'd be very weird how many title contenders have Piston players.
So if the Nets win, the aforementioned players, wherever Andre goes, it could be one of the LA teams, whatever. Clippers win, you got Marcus, Reggie, Luke.
Yep.
Lakers win, you got Kentavious.
Markeith.
I think that's it. I didn't remember if there was somebody else.
The Bucks win. Christopher Middleton.
Oh, they don't care. Oh, and Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn. Since we're,
even though he's not playing.
Whatever. No, he should be. I don't remember if he'll be back. Let me ask you the Kyle Lowry question. So there was a report that came out about him that like he was telling everyone that he was getting traded, and then he was like, "That's a lie." But there's also a little rumor out there that Kyle Lowry is Daryl Morey's favorite player that doesn't play in Philadelphia.
And Kyle's from Philly.
Right, Villanova guy.
Yep.
Do you think that – how close do you think they get to Brooklyn if they get Lowry? Because let me tell you something. I think Philly is probably the team that could beat Brooklyn.
I think they're close.
Yeah.
I think that would be – I think Philly's – I mean, Philly's been very good this year. I think Lowry's a good player, of course, obviously, Hall of Famer. That would be – I would thoroughly enjoy that as a basketball fan if Kyle Lowry went to the 76ers, and I think teams would be sweating. I think teams are already sweating Philly because they've earned that respect with Embiid, Simmons, Harris has played well defensively. They're very good. If they add Lowry, that's a nice deadline get.
I'm looking at this team. You have Ben Simmons, the best defensive player in basketball. I don't know why there's even odds on him winning Defensive Player of the Year. He should have it now. Joel Embiid right now is plus 220 as the favorite to win the MVP. Should probably be like minus 130. Because if it ended today, I think it's him. But this is the beauty of it, is I think on a week-to-week basis, you should probably look at your ladder and change it appropriately. You can't say for 3 months that, like, Embiid is – for the last 3 months that Embiid has been the MVP. There have been weeks where it's been Braun. There have been weeks where it's been Jokic.
Yeah.
You might even be able to argue there was a week or two where Steph could be in there, yeah. Right? There's also going to be a really uncomfortable Harden. Conversation that
in Brooklyn,
no.
Harden in Brooklyn, he's been balling.
Yes. This is like the fourth revolution evolution of James Harden that we've seen. The guy just keeps changing his game in really weird ways. But once KD comes back, I think some of that's kind of going to work itself out. The uncomfortable conversation that people are going to have is with Giannis.
Yeah.
If the Bucks make it back up to one and he's averaging 33, 12, and 6.
I don't think there's any way Giannis wins MVP this year.
And it's a crime. This isn't me doing my Bucks thing. This is if you are a victim of voter fatigue, you are an unequivocal moron. Because the regular season is what this award is about. This cloud of the last year's playoffs is just hanging over this MVP race in such a weird way that there are so many guys that we look at it. Who's the shiny new toy? We have never voted for Embiid before. Jokic, a Euro guy, that'd be kind of fun. Well, Braun hasn't won one in 8 years. Well, Giannis, yeah, he's great, but, you know, the Bucks in the playoffs. It's not about the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's infuriating, but anyways, back to trade stuff.
I have a question for you, just to bring it back to the Pistons. Of everybody on the roster, besides Jeremy, who is the one, you can only pick one, who's the one guy you don't want to get traded?
I think it might be Sadiq, but it's him or Isaiah for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it might be Sadiq just because from a basketball, from a trajectory of the game sense.
Yeah.
Seems like one of those gamers that you need.
If you're, okay, here's another question. Put on your GM hat. Where's your Supreme all white? I know it's always nearby. There we go. If you could trade one player right this second, who would it be?
Is this because I don't like them or because I think that their value is in an interesting place?
Give me one for both.
Well, I don't think you can move Magruder, so that's my I don't.
Yeah, it has to be like you could actually realistically trade
You can
them.
Actually move them, yeah. Sure. Well, then there's nobody I don't like. This is this is something I've talked to my brother about a few times. Really nice, man, having a roster that there's no one that checks in and you go, okay, this guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's no one like that on this team. Sometimes I get a little bit like, Magruder's played 8 minutes. That's 7 minutes too many.
But he's been balling. He was balling before the break.
Right, so you can't be mad about it. So I don't really have an answer for. I wish Servetus was worth something. In terms of a guy that I think his value is in a really interesting place, I just really want to know what DeLon's value is. I just really want to know what those packages look like.
I thought you were going to say Josh. I thought you would be very interested to see where what Josh's value is. I'm fascinated to know. I've gotten a lot of I've dropped a lot of gems and tidbits the last few weeks. I haven't really heard much stuff about Josh. I'd be fascinated to know what the Pistons could get back for Josh.
An amazing point, because he slipped my mind. Can I say the one thing I don't love about Josh?
Sure.
And I love Josh Jackson.
You told me you would get his jersey.
Big Josh Jackson guy, yeah. Okay. I'm also a big fan of players who I think they know who they are.
Yep, we've talked about this.
And that's right, we did. And sometimes I wonder if he will be able to recognize himself, as we spoke about in a previous episode, as the sort of Jordan Clarkson type on a team a few years down the line that finds themselves in a I don't want to say contending position, but relative to where we are now, sure. I worry about his place in the scoring hierarchy and how he's going to view that, because I just feel like right now he's getting all the shots and he looks great. Where that's going to be, so I don't want to assume anything. It's just sort of a preemptive, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily something I don't like about him, but you know what I don't like about the league right now?
What?
Too many smart GMs. Too many of them. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, I just, can we look at a trade for once nowadays and be like, oh, that was bad. That was really bad. You could, people, well, the Andre trade. No.
No,
because Jeremy Grant's on this team now.
Well, that,
Jeremy Grant's on this team.
And I, as I reported then, teams, and you're seeing it now, teams don't see Andre as a winning player. Like, it is what it is. People can agree, disagree. It is what it is. I'm trying to think the last trade that felt like a fleecing. I don't think Houston got enough for Harden.
Well, while not getting Jared Allen was the
Yeah, I would have felt better if they got Jared Allen. But
I'm sure Kobe Altman has done something really dumb. I'm sure of it. Damn. Trading Markelle Fultz for Jonathan Simmons in retrospect is hilariously bad. Should have gotten Terrence Ross for that.
What's the last dumb Pistons trade?
Well,
that they, I mean, Blake.
Well, no, I'm not there yet. I'm still not
there.
That
was
a
bad
trade.
I don't
think it was dumb. Yeah, I think I'm not there with that. But I'm not going to dispute
what,
I'll
people say this.
Saying it. I just won't
say it. I'll
say
this. I've said it before. People have their opinion on Tom. While I'm a rebuild guy, like if you're going for the 8th seed, the 7th seed, like I'd rather just rebuild and see what happens. I also do respect the idea of not putting a bad product on the floor. And there's as we're learning now with Troy, like there's a way to not put, like, they're bad, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
But in Tom's case, I understand trying to maintain or capture relevance with a name and putting your team in the position to make the playoffs. I get it. I don't agree, but I get it. But what I'll say is, it just comes down to, I think Detroit should have recognized their situation a little sooner, and they should have been at this spot 3-ish years ago.
Sure.
I don't think the Blake trade, the reason I say it's bad is because he's gone now. They had to buy him out. And so you traded value for him. You got no value back. And you didn't win a playoff game. And you made the playoffs once. So,
yeah.
Obviously, using hindsight here, it wasn't a good trade. You gave up a pick that would have been Shea or Miles. Tobias Harris is a better player than Blake Griffin right now.
I don't like that you're explaining this because it's making me agree with you.
Yeah,
no.
And
I
get going for it. I don't agree with it. I don't agree because of how my philosophy is with team building. I would rather just, if this team at its best can only get me the 7th and or 8th seed and maybe win a playoff game, I'd rather just rebuild. I get trying to make that push and trying to see just find out what happens if Blake stays healthy and whatnot. I just think the Pistons pigeonholed themselves because once you got Blake, you really didn't have enough room to add anybody else. I mean, Andre wasn't going anywhere. Reggie didn't have trade value. Clearly, he got bought out. And with that team, you're just going to keep picking 8 through 15 every single year. So, yeah, that wasn't a great trade. It was not.
But
they won a lot of trades in the SVG era. I mean, getting Reggie Bullock, that was a big win. The Avery Bradley, Marcus Morris one doesn't look good.
I was gonna say for the first like 30 games of the Avery Bradley trade.
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy,
he looked good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo. But you say we didn't get value for Blake. You know what we did get?
What'd you get?
We got memories.
You got a season worth of memories.
It was quite good.
Took to the last day of the regular season to make the playoffs.
I mean, what are you doing?
I'm just
come on, James.
Just saying.
Which was a great game. It was against the Knicks. For some reason, we were like, we might lose this.
Yeah. So, full disclaimer here. As a journalist, and I wasn't alone on Press Row. We were in the Garden. Pistons ended up, they got up big and early and ended up blowing them out.
Luke had a big game, if memory serves.
I don't remember much about the game. I know Blake was, I just remember him being, he was there, but in dress clothes. We were all hoping that the Knicks won.
People can't see my face, but I'm.
Do you want to know why?
Beside myself.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because we knew the outcome in the playoffs, so you're just extending our.
So did we. We didn't care.
We're working. So that we're not watching.
You think watching those Pistons wasn't a job, son?
Dude, that meant I had to get on plane 2 or 3 times to go to Milwaukee when I knew what was going to happen, and it just prolonged my summer vacation. We were
all... Ooh, my name's James. I don't like free airfare and going to
it's
new
Milwaukee.
Places. And... Pfizer Forum is beautiful. If that was the first year of that arena.
It's a great arena. You're there for a basket. You don't. There's not sleepovers during the day. It's not a club during the day.
You and Eric didn't hang out?
That's when we played ball. Yeah, no, we played ball.
Oh, there. Okay. And you're still going to complain about it.
I'm
okay.
just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying we prolonged our summer vacation was pushed back 2 weeks because we knew. I mean, come on. We knew what was going to happen. Why?
I'm disgusted. I.
If you were
I,
in our shoes, you would feel the same way, having traveled a whole season.
I'm sure.
And knowing the outcome.
You're probably right.
Yes.
But right now, I'm just like, this is so first world. Like, ugh, I got to get on another plane.
No, it's not. It's not it's not the plane thing. It's prolonging the inevitable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know that there were a lot of people who were proponents of, like, because that was the Zion draft. They were like, I would rather have, like, a 1% chance at Zion than lose in four to the Bucks. There were a lot of people who believed that, and I wasn't one of them, and I'm still not. Because of what we thought it was going to – we thought it was going to set the tone for the future, right? But you want to talk about bad trades. Like, you don't have those draft night trades anymore. You don't have them. Like
big ones,
Randy Foy and Mike Miller for, like, the 5th pick in the draft was a real thing.
Yeah.
And Randy Foy, bucket. Mike Miller, bucket.
Yeah, I'm not putting Randy Foy in the bucket category, but I'll put Mike Miller in there.
They got Ricky Rubio for him.
Yeah.
That was what the pick turned – or was that the Johnny Flynn one? No, the Johnny Flynn one was, what, like 2 picks later?
I think Johnny was – that was Steph's draft. Steph went 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny? I thought Johnny was a top – was Rubio
Johnny
3?
Went 1 pick. Johnny – maybe it was 3 and 5 is what
maybe
it was.
That's
I don't remember what it was
yeah.
But the Wolves had 2 picks.
Johnny
there.
Flynn
and
went
I also
before
don't,
Steph Curry.
Right. I don't remember which –
that's insane.
Which pick it was that – they got for,
how did
for
you,
Mike and
how
Randy
did
Foy.
Did anybody watch what Steph did the previous 2 years of college and think this isn't going to translate?
Because Johnny Flynn was playing in the Big East, and that's a better.
I watched Steph Curry take down Georgetown and Wisconsin in the tournament.
Brother, you don't have to tell me I
that's
was
still,
there.
There needs to be. No GMs that pick before Steph will get on record and say there needs to be a 30 for 30 on how Steph
that
slipped.
That was the Blake draft too, right?
Yeah, Blake went 1. Harden went 3.
That was fine. And that was fine too.
I mean, it turned out fine. I still don't know if
why do I feel like Kawhi was in that class? He definitely wasn't.
I think Kawhi was the later, yeah.
People thought the same thing about Kawhi that they thought about Harden. They were like coming in out of college, they're like, we don't know if this guy can shoot.
Yeah, and he was Kawhi was the 15th pick. He went to Indiana.
Yeah, and the Spurs were like, nah, we'll fix him.
They traded him for. I don't remember that trade. They George Hill. George Hill. Yeah, I think it was George Hill for the 15th pick.
You want a fun fact about the 2009 NBA draft? Do you know what happened on that very same day that shook the entire globe to its core? I'm not kidding.
I also have another fun fact about the 2009 draft. Once you're done, go ahead. It involves Detroit.
What's happening here? That was the same day that Michael Jackson passed away.
It was. That's right.
Yeah. Pistons drafted Austin Day in that. We just... looked that up right before this because we were talking about the 09 draft and somehow we came right back to it. But go ahead.
So Blake, that was Blake's, I think he said his first time in Detroit was 2009. I think the Final Four was in Detroit. And
we lost to North Carolina. Yep.
And they did the National Player of the Year award because the Final Four was in Detroit. The National Player of the Year award was in Detroit. So Blake, Steph, James Harden, and somebody else were all in a car being driven around Detroit to from location Johnny to location.
Flynn. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You know what's funny? So they don't play tournament games at LCA, but they did a few years ago. We don't usually get those big high profile things because there's not enough hotel space, but
and that'll change soon.
Certainly. But that's why we don't get the Super Bowl. That's why we don't get this stuff, is because we don't have the hotel space.
Right.
So I remember it was I think it was the year that we – I don't remember. I think it was the year that Boeheim locked us down in the zone. We were playing in Detroit, or we like were able to play in Detroit. I don't remember what it was. I remember there was Andy Katz came out with some bracketology about 2 weeks before Selection Sunday. And in Detroit was Alabama versus Michigan State, which would have meant that Colin Sexton would have been in Detroit. And I was like, I need this to happen. Like, this is going to be the, you know, my favorite. This is going to be the coolest thing that's ever happened to me before. Ended up not happening, but I was really excited for a little bit to see Colin Sexton and Avery Johnson's son playing. That would have been very cool.
And Avery Johnson coaching, right?
And, of course, Avery Johnson coaching. That's always my biggest thing. Well, Avery Johnson's not in the league is because he's not a good coach. And I always say to that, he had Colin Sexton, and his second best player was his son.
Yeah.
And that was it. And you like that Kyra Lewis guy? Who recruited him? Oh. Yeah, it was Avery Johnson. Yeah. Hmm.
How long has Avery been gone from Bama? Did he recruit Kyra?
Yes. Yeah, he recruited Kyra and Colin, obviously. Yeah. Ask Vince about that.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that. He knows what's up. Vince knows. Actually, no, because Vince is going to start slandering.
That was
Avery,
a great speaking. We'll bring it back full circle, and we can end on this. Troy ended his press conference yesterday ragging on Vince, who was in the Zoom wearing an Alabama hoodie. And he said he decided he was going to draft Saban after he hung 30 on Bama. And he said he was actually – Troy said he was actually at that game.
Do you think he was kind of serious?
I mean, he likes Saban, and I think that probably like
a big put more of a stamp.
Yeah, a big moment in the process. Yeah. But he definitely just wanted to – a lot of people like to throw jabs at Vince, and that was his moment.
You ruffled some feathers, not with Car Twitter, but also with Washington Football Team Twitter.
That was my bad. Troy actually said football team. I tweeted Redskins, which was – I apologize. That's just – it's just – let me preface it.
Bigot.
As somebody who – I don't watch much football anymore, and I haven't – I didn't watch Washington once since they changed their name. And, yeah, I that was my bad. I felt bad. I didn't understand why – everybody was saying, who? I was like, what are they talking about? I was like, oh, shit, I put Redskins. So I apologize if that offended anybody. That was just I'm still getting adjusted.
So, story time with James. I'm trying to think of a player that I haven't picked yet. Or wait, no, you said you wanted to do story time with me because I told you that I had a.
Yeah, you had a. Yeah, you were in a. You had a conversation with Seth Curry and who else? You just sent me right, that and so, I didn't without context and I.
Yeah, I did send it to you.
So explain to people what happened.
So I was having a conversation. It was me, it was Damian Lee, it was Ian Clark.
Who is Steph Curry's brother-in-law.
Ian Clark is?
Damian Lee.
Oh, Damian Lee. Seth Curry, Doc Rivers' son-in-law, and of course, brother of Steph. Yep. And Andre Iguodala.
How did that happen?
So there's an app called Locker Room. You have live conversations and it's great. And I saw that Andre was speaking, and I was like, I would like to listen. That sounds like fun. David Fotoki was running the room. He works in the Warriors front office. And they were talking about, you know, having people up and letting them speak and stuff, but then they didn't do it. So I'm just listening very casually, just having some fun, listening to these guys chop it up. And all of a sudden,
are they like on Zoom? Is it like similar to Zoom? Like you see like their faces or boxes and stuff?
Just audio.
Okay. I've never used
just audio.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I get a notification, Andre Iguodala has invited you to speak. And I was like, what? It's like, why? So I don't get nervous for that stuff anymore. You know, people are just guys.
Yeah.
I hadn't felt what I felt in that moment in a very long time.
Stomach dropped. Like, you poop. You
yeah.
Poo-poo.
I'm like, this isn't Luke. This isn't Luke Kennard. Like this is a Finals MVP.
We're not shooting M15s on a screen.
No, I'm like this is. So I go up and I immediately mute my mic because I'm like I'm not gonna speak unless they say something to me. And Andre's like, after they're like finishing up a conversation, he's like, anyways, Nicholas Hinkle, what's up, man? And I was like, Jesus.
Are there only like six people in this room? Like, I don't understand. Like, why were you picked?
I don't know. There was probably about 100 or so. I don't know. Maybe David, because David and I have had a few conversations. So maybe David was like, hey, invite Nick up. Like, he's a cool dude, because I am.
How do you know David?
We've had a few conversations.
How?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we spent probably about 45 minutes.
You might have more league connects than I do.
It was the most, like...
And you just poured beer on yourself. Yeah. I respect the hell out of you. I don't know how you do it. I'm sure I'll find out on the Bun and Cardigan After Dark.
That was the most holy shit moment that I've had in a really long time. Like, I'm texting my brother, like, kind of shaking a little bit, because I'm like, I'm listening to Iguodala speak to me. What a brain on this guy.
What did you ask him?
What did you guys talk about? I just say we chopped it up, because I don't totally remember. But I did, there's the one clip that's out there that is on my Twitter, the one that I sent to you, is I asked him and Seth sort of when they thought that they were going to retire, because Andre was like, who do you guys think is going to retire after this year? And I was like, you would know better than I would, but I think Udonis is probably going to stop stealing money from the Heat in a roster spot. They're like, it just doesn't seem fair to me at this point. The guy hasn't played in 3 years, but he's still getting checks to be on the roster. It's like, brother, just be a coach.
Yeah.
So I said that, and, you know, we talked a little bit about the dunk contest, and he indulged me in a way that no one ever has before. Andre did.
What'd he say?
I brought up Terrence Stansbury.
Okay.
And he goes, oh, he did the one-legged 360 in the dunk contest. And I was like, oh, I've never spoken to someone who could be like, this is who Terrence Stansbury was, this is what he did, and that guy was awesome.
Yeah, Iguodala is that dude.
Oh, my goodness. I had to really contain it then. That was really cool. Yeah, other than that, I don't know. Really general stuff. I asked them, like, and they brought up a good point. I go, I did think it was kind of weird that Buddy wasn't, because this was during halftime of the All-Star game, so we're watching the dunk contest together. Yeah. And I'm like, I think it is a little bit weird that Buddy didn't try to go back-to-back. And they're like, well, you have to remember that this season's been so bam, 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 that a lot of these guys really value, you know, these few days that they have. So that was, you know, a big reason why. And
if I were Buddy, I wouldn't have done it again.
Especially if Steph's in it. Get out of here. Which, by the way, he wins, and I'm like, that was like his fifth, right? It's only his second. I don't know why I thought he had more. Also, shout out to Luca for just not taking his warm-ups off during the skills comp. I was like, man. Anyways, that was it.
I'm happy for you, man.
Pretty cool.
Continue to spread your wings. Now you have Andre. You and Andre can go golfing together or something. He can replace Luke.
Well, no, all right.
Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah, all right, come on. All righty, James. This is a... How long are we running? Oof, we got to wrap this up. All righty, James. Oh, shoot. Albums. All right, go ahead and pick something.
I hate when you spring albums on and then I got to go first. All right.
Yeah, because I keep forgetting.
All right. I'm looking around the room. I'm just going to pull an album out from my records. Whatever I get, I'm picking.
Yeah, just, like, close your eyes and do it. All right, he's looking at me. I can tell he is not looking. This is true. James is not looking.
I hope it's a great
posters in the background. James has got a great setup. Holy, you actually got that chair.
Yeah, I got my mom's birthday gift to me. It's the most comfortable.
Sorry, for people who don't understand, in our last episode, we were recording with Matt Shook and Lazarus Jackson.
Oh, is this the chair they had?
I'm like 90% sure that's the same chair. And you're like, oh, that's why I said that.
They didn't even tell me.
You were like,
no, they never told me. I just bought this one.
Pretty sure that's the same chair.
If so, this is the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in.
This isn't great podcasting. Pull out the album.
I'm not picking the one that I pulled out because it's not a. Oh, we don't do sleepers. We just do. All right, it was Outkast's first album. That's people have heard that.
Yeah, sure. You can pick that. I'll pick one that was commercially pretty well known too.
All right, I'm just gonna go Slum Village, Fantastic Volume 1. It is a fantastic album. R.I.P. J. Dilla, the great, the goat. Fantastic Volume 1 is
I mean, to me, this is like, of course, it's a Detroit classic, but maybe like the spawn of, I don't know, man, underground rap, even to an extent at that time, definitely had a major influence on like Neo Soul, The Look of Love, Beege and Them, Fourth and Back. Yeah, man. Slum Village, Fantastic Volume 1. The beats are just stupid. I would recommend you listen to this either driving at night or in the house with incense playing and a nice beverage that twists your brain cells a little bit, because it's just a... I mean, Dilla's just so damn good, and every beat is fire, and they all... It's head bobbing, but it all has like different. It's just ridiculous. Slum Village, Fantastic, sure. Volume 1. Detroit classic, hip hop classic, underground classic. And if you like that, go listen to Slum Village, Fantastic, Volume 2. And some people might pick Volume 2 over 1. I'm a 1 guy.
Did you see the review? That was a very nice review. And then at the end, they said, and they, in parentheses, mostly James, though, have great music recommendations. And I was like,
I did see that. Huh. Shout out to him or her.
I was mad because they weren't wrong is what I had a problem with. So
No, let's not do that. You have good music taste.
Well, because I always do it, and I always frantically sort of scramble to pick one.
And you pick things like Rich Chigga. What did he change his name to so he didn't get beat up? Rich Brian, yeah.
Rich Brian, yeah.
And then you do stuff like Jaden Smith. It's
But those are things that you don't understand. It's not that they're bad, you just don't get them.
No, yeah, I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're bad, they're just not for me. And they're probably not for the gentleman that picked that stuff.
That's another record that isn't for you?
What?
At all? Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino by the Arctic Monkeys.
I actually like that album.
It was no way.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, so it's their most recent record, and it's a concept album about Alex Turner owning a luxury resort on the surface of the moon. That's what the album's about. And you're like, how do you write a record about that? Well, you should go check out Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino by the Arctic Monkeys,
and you'll find out.
Circa 2018, and you'll find out One Point Perspective. I remember the first time I heard it, there's the piano in the beginning, and then the way that the snare kicks in. The whole track is great. My favorite part... is there was one night where I was, you know, I'm listening to this one song. It's called 4 out of 5. And the song is literally about how his hotel has a 4-star rating and it's like unheard of. It's great. That's literally the chorus. And that's 4 stars out of 5. And that's unheard of is the chorus. And I'm just like, how do you make a song about, like, it was so good. And like, I was like,
it was your shit.
Whew. Yeah, it was great, man. And there's a song called Monster Trucks. It's great. I really like that record. It's not their best one,
no,
but it holds a very special place
for sure
in my heart. Love a good concept album already. Same. James, especially with ideas, a concept as unique as that, what in the world? Anyways,
sci-fi.
Already, ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, genuinely thank you very, very much for listening. I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time.
I mean, we potted this weekend, Sunday.
No, I know, but we didn't have our, we didn't get our, that was with the fellas.
Yeah, you know? We didn't.
So I haven't. Yeah. Yeah, already. Already, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening
I
to
miss
this
you
on
too,
Apple
Nick.
Podcast.
It's like, you just got to say it. You don't have to disguise it.
Our next episode will be on James's birthday.
Yeah, well, we'll be recording on that day, yeah.
Well, yes, yeah. Maybe I'll see what Iguodala's up to.
I mean, he knows Sean Livingston.
Yeah, I'll just use Iguodala to get to Sean Livingston, yeah. Sure.
Or you can use Dave, because Sean is in Golden State's front office.
Big true. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. If you made it this far, thank you very much for listening. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars and subscribe.
I'm
going to
be
generous.
So disappointed when our guest on my birthday is Wong Juju. Even though,
brother,
even though I
don't
like
even
Wong.
Know if we're going to be able to. I don't know if we're even going to be able to pull a guest.
For all I know, we're not going. I don't want one. But this is what I'm going to say to all our listeners. Go YouTube Wong Juju. If you're under the age of 26, Nick, do you know who Wong Juju is?
The name.
7-foot Chinese player, played with the Heat, played with the Mavericks in the early 2000s. Could shoot the three ball. Didn't last long in the league. I always used to use him on NBA Live because he actually, like, again, 7-foot and could shoot the three, and I love the name Wong Juju.
Sure.
Go watch Wong Juju highlights if they have them on YouTube.
And then Evan Mobley. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we will catch you guys in the next one.